Welcome to Create Your Reality, the show that empowers you with information on how to drive your brain and create a more purposeful, joyful, and fulfilling life for yourself in the process. Your host is Lynn Crocker. Each week, Lynn demystifies your brain's processes and shows you how to utilize tools that you already possess to identify habitual thought patterns that are not serving you. You'll hear from Lynn and other industry experts who will help you understand how your thoughts create your reality and how you can use this awareness to change your life from the inside out. This is all right here on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International.
Hi, and welcome to Create Your Reality. I'm your host, Lynn Crocker. Today, I'm so excited to be chatting with Quentin Vinnie. Quentin is a New York-based writer, wellness coach, and yoga guide. He utilizes his experience in personal training, yoga, and juicing to influence and transform lives. His philosophy is to address the obstacles occurring inside the body, allowing the external changes to occur as a direct result. Today, Quentin shares his story about how he overcame addiction, anxiety, depression, and became migraine-free, proving that it's never too late to become a better version of yourself. So I learned about Quentin through his blog and saw that he wrote a lot about the important role that a healthy body plays in creating a healthy mind. And I'm just really intrigued by his journey and what he has to say, and I know listeners will be as well. So let me go ahead and bring him on. Hi, Quentin. Welcome to the show.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I mentioned in the intro, I did come across your blog where you were talking about the importance of nutrition and having the body in really good shape to be able to control the thoughts that are going in the mind. And your perspective comes from some very real, practical experience. So let's start off by telling listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a health coach, a former personal trainer, yoga instructor, writer, speaker. I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland. So a lot of people are familiar with Baltimore because of Blue Crabs and the Orioles and the Ravens. But Baltimore, for me growing up, was a little bit different than that. In the 80s and 90s, Baltimore was known as the heroin capital of America.
Oh, wow.
So drug addiction and drug abuse was very prevalent in my life as well as in my family. So it's definitely something that I'm pretty familiar with. Mm-hmm. But as growing up in Baltimore, going through certain circumstances and just natural issues, mm-hmm. When I was 14 years old, I was originally diagnosed with an anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. From that anxiety disorder, I dealt with bouts of depression as well.
Mm-hmm.
Before going through any outside treatment in any way, the first thing that was recommended was medication.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for me, my mother was always anti-medication, so she rejected that idea, and we just continued to move on. So in my mid-20s, I started an exercise regimen.
Mm-hmm.
I was always a small guy. I was like 128 pounds before I started doing anything, exercise related. So my thing was, I wanted to gain weight. I wanted to, regain confidence and, just feel good about myself physically.
Mm-hmm.
So I started training for a men's physique competition. It was around that time that I started noticing symptoms of what I thought was a heart attack.
Oh, wow.
Heart palpitations, tightness in my chest, difficulty breathing, dizziness, just a lot of things that are symbolic to a heart attack. After going through these things for quite some time, I was officially diagnosed with generalized anxiety and panic disorder. From then on, and just like when I was 14, kind of the history repeated itself,
mm-hmm.
The first thing that was offered to me was medication.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what I had experienced with the panic attacks, I didn't reject that idea, so to speak. So I started taking this anti-anxiety medication, and within 8 months, I realized that I developed an addiction to it. I started to get severe migraines, debilitating migraines, was sent to the hospital quite a few times, was given a prescription for Vicodin. So at this time, at the height of everything, I was taking anti-anxiety medications for GAD and then taking Vicodin to subside the pain of my migraines.
Wow.
I subsequently actually ended up with an accidental overdose on Vicodin. So immediately following that, I got off of the Vicodin, and I wanted to get off all prescription medication, but I couldn't let go of this anti-anxiety medication. Like, I just couldn't, shake it. Mm-hmm. It was around that time I realized I had a problem, you know, and the one thing with addiction that I've personally experienced, as, you know, as well as going through it with my family, was the fact that addiction thrives off of fear, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that fear of withdrawal, that fear of what it'll be to not have this feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, it becomes your normality. It becomes a part of you. And it became a part of me. So my fear was, how would I survive in life without this, this medication?
Uh-huh.
You know, it was physically difficult for me to get off of it,
mm-hmm.
because my body was immune to it. My body had built up a large tolerance. Initially, I was prescribed 1.5 milligrams per day, and I was taking upwards of 8.
Wow.
So, and this is within a 24-hour period.
Wow.
Now, I went to my doctor, told him, like, listen, I think I have a problem. I need to get off of this. And he says, his recommendation was to switch me to something a little less strong.
Uh-huh.
But he told me that my anxiety disorder was so severe that if I wanted to lead a normal life, I would have to take this medicine for the rest of my life.
Wow.
And when he told me that, I was done.
Yeah.
I said, you know what, this is the guy that I trusted. You know, this is, you know, we all trust our physicians. Like, these are the people that, you know, we go to when we have medical issues. You know, even if you go to an emergency room, they say, hey, follow up with your primary care physician. So this is someone that I put my trust into for my life. And now you're telling me that for me to be normal, quote unquote, to be normal,
mm-hmm.
I would have to take this for the remainder of my life. It made me go back and readjust some things and look into some things and look into some alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I discovered juicing and yoga and meditation.
Yeah.
And I took my journey. That's really where my journey started.
Wow, that's amazing. I want to definitely talk about the solutions that you found. But first, I want to congratulate you on making that decision on saying this is not okay with me to be on medication for the rest of my life. And I'm going to make a change. I'm going to take control. So that's a big step and a very powerful decision that you made. And I'm sure it was very empowering once you made it.
Definitely. It was empowering, but it was frightening at the same time.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the things that I did was, you know, I researched my medication. The medication I was taking was lorazepam. That's the generic form, the generic name for Ativan.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some of the withdrawal symptoms were worse than the panic attacks.
Wow.
You know, I mean, the withdrawals would, you know, some of the symptoms were insomnia, stomach ache, cramping, no energy, additional anxiety and panic,
mm-hmm.
heart attack, blood clots, seizures.
Wow.
And possible death.
Yeah.
So it was like, wow, the withdrawal from the medication was worse than what I needed it for in the first place.
So it was,
you know what I mean? It was like, I felt like, in a way, like I'm trapped. Like, I feel like I might die without it, but I feel like I'm going to die with it.
Wow.
So it was difficult, but I had to really dig deep within myself and find my reason.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do this for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people that were around me, I was what you would consider a functioning addict. I was a personal trainer at this time. I would, you know, take 2 or 3 pills
mm-hmm.
and go train a client. And, you know, 2 weeks later, they're like, oh, I lost 8 pounds. It was great.
Yeah, you're like, I'm being successful. But so how long did that process take for you to get off? And you said you dug down deep. Talk about that a little bit, because that sounds horrible, you know, to have to go.
It was. And
yeah.
The weird part about it is, like, today I don't remember a lot about the withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a lot about the mental anguish that I went through, though.
Mm-hmm.
So it took about 1.5 years to get off of medication completely. I wanted to try to wean myself off of it, but I didn't know where to start. I was taking upwards of 8 or 9 pills a day.
Mm-hmm.
I was figuring out, oh, how can I cut this back? I mean, I'm already taking 6 times the recommended amount.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started doing additional research. I ran into a documentary called Fat, Sick, and the Other Day with Joe Cross.
Yeah.
And that inspired me because, he was able to cure his autoimmune disease and get off of his medications. That was the beginning of everything for me. Mm-hmm. From then, I looked at Crazy Sexy Cancer with Cris Carr and how she was able to overcome her cancer with changing her diet and, mm-hmm. Practicing yoga and just doing all of these things. She's 31 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking in my mind, like, well, if these people are able to cure themselves or heal themselves, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
even though they're not going through the exact same thing that I'm going through,
right.
maybe it'll work for me.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the documentary, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. I watched it, too, and it's really very powerful, the changes.
Absolutely.
And so I can see where that inspired you and gave you some hope. And so is juicing the place where you would say you started, or what?
Yes.
Okay.
Juicing was it. Once I watched those two documentaries the same day, actually. And that night, because where I lived at the time, there was a 24-hour Walmart. So mm-hmm. that night, I left my house and I went to Walmart.
Wow.
And I bought my first juicer. And mind you, the first month of juicing was an absolute disaster
because
I didn't, I had no idea what I was doing.
Right.
But, I stuck with it.
Uh-huh. That's great. Yeah, I'm a big fan of juicing. For me, it really worked also, and that was also what kind of drew me to you. A lot of people say to me, it takes so long. And I'm like, it doesn't take any longer than it does to prepare a meal.
Exactly.
It's not difficult, and what I like about it, and it's what juicing proponents say, is that you're getting that direct absorption of nutrition. There's no digestion,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing. It just goes right into your body, and I've had experiences where I've not been feeling so well, starting to get that sense like I'm getting sick, and I'll just down some juice with some garlic in it, and it's just, I'll get this wave of heat over my body, like it's just doing a battle, and then I feel better.
Exactly. That's exactly how it works.
Yeah, so that's a really awesome. And I'm just curious, so you watched both those documentaries in the same day. How did you become aware of those documentaries?
I was just looking at alternatives to medication.
Okay.
And that's when I found the Joe Cross. I'm big on movies. Like, I'm a movie buff. So,
okay.
I'm very visual. So, in addition to reading things on Wikipedia and WebMD and all of those things, finding something that could correlate to what I was trying to do,
mm-hmm.
Getting off of this medication, that was my main goal.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't necessarily how do I rid myself of anxiety, but it was more so how do I get off of this medication, because
mm-hmm.
the medication in my mind was what was going to – that was the killer for me.
Yeah.
So, finding that, watching that, and then, when you go to certain websites, they say, people who have searched for this also searched for.
Yeah.
And that's when, the recommendation comes, Crazy Sexy Cancer. Like, wait, what's that?
Name's awesome.
Sexy Cancer. Never knew cancer was sexy. Let me see what this thing is. Let me see what this is all about.
Yeah. Well,
and then to find out that documentary was on, was on TLC, and then Oprah did an interview with her. It was, they were like the movers of this juicing generation,
mm-hmm.
so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before the Jason, before I knew anything about the Jason Vales and, the Jack LaLanes of yesteryear.
Right.
Those were the two that really introduced me.
Yeah. Well, so you found juicing, it seemed to work. You got off the medication. And then what were some other things that you discovered along your path here that once you got off the medication, did the anxiety attack come back or were they lessened at that point? I don't imagine you were cured of them.
No. One of the things that I had to do was accept the fact that I had an anxiety disorder.
Ah.
So in accepting the fact that I had an anxiety disorder, I accepted that fact before I accepted the fact that I was an addict. Because at first it was a bunch of denials, like, I don't have a disorder. Like, what are you talking about? I'm normal.
Uh-huh.
I attached my sense of normalcy
yes.
with being free of any imperfection.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
so
I do.
It was an accepting the fact that, okay, I'll deal with the fact that I'll have this for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So even today, like, I still have anxiety attacks. I still have panic attacks. I'm I'm still learning those triggers, and sometimes they're just unavoidable.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not necessarily that I don't have them anymore. It's just that I know how to deal with them a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
They have been lessened. Mm-hmm. I don't have them as frequently as I did before, because in juicing, I also started doing research and watching more documentaries like Forks Over Knives and Food Incorporated and things like that, like learning about the food industry, you know, deep down, like what's really going on. I learned about, you know, during that time, I learned about genetically modified organisms and, you know, and organic foods and pesticides and, you know, how to read food labels and just all of these things. So I was looking at the correlation between inflammation in the body and inflammation in the mind.
Yes.
You know, so if I'm not giving my body what's necessary for it to produce positive results, I'm going to consistently get the same thing. So it doesn't matter at a certain point. It's like it doesn't matter what I tell myself if what I'm doing to myself doesn't match with that. I had my first panic attack in the gym, so exercise was something I was terrified of. It was weird because I was a personal trainer, so I'd be putting my clients through these exercises that I wouldn't dare do because I was afraid of anything boosting my heart rate up, but I still wanted to be active. So it was like after I started to implement juicing, after I started changing my diet and taking some things out and adding some things in, you know, I wanted to find a way to still be active without having to go back to where it all started for me. And that's when I noticed in Crazy Sexy Cancer, Chris Carr had a few scenes of doing yoga. Now, being in a gym atmosphere, I was already familiar with yoga to an extent. I didn't know exactly what it was. It was, to me, it was like a cult at that time. It was a, bunch of people that never said anything to anyone in the gym. They stayed together. They didn't have any shoes on. While we were all wearing Nike and Adidas. Like, they're barefoot with rolled up mats. They would go into a back room, close the door, and you wouldn't see or hear anything from them for an hour. And then they would come right back out, still with no shoes on, not speaking to anyone, and they would leave the same way they came in.
I bet that was a little strange.
So it was like, okay, I'm not gonna talk to those people. You know what I mean? Like they're a little bit weird. But you know, watching Chris do it in her dialogue, and you know, she's a regular person. I'm like, wow, but she's doing it too. So again, I'm consulting my best friend Google, and I'm on the internet, and I'm looking, and I saw. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it may have been an interview with Chris Carr and Tara Stiles, and found out, Tara Stiles, she's a yoga instructor, a yoga guy. So I thought, okay, well, if she's friends with Chris Carr, and Chris Carr indirectly affected my life, let me see what this lady's all about. And it was in that I feel like yoga discovered me, because it was, no matter where I turned, it seemed like yoga was right there. It was like right in my face.
How funny.
You know, at the time that I needed it the most. It's exactly. So, you know, it was in that instant, you know, I started practicing. My first year, I practiced along Tara Stiles' YouTube videos before I even stepped foot into a studio, because there's always a negative connotation associated with yoga. You know, it's a religion, it's a cult, and it was just a bunch of hoopla that I wasn't really trying to involve myself with. I was still trying to deal with things on my own terms, my own way. So, you know, I made up in my mind, like, after doing the Tara Stiles videos for a year, you know, back home in Baltimore, I said, I'm going to branch out, and I'm going to try to extend my practice, and I'm going to go to a location. But if I have a horrible experience, I'm never going back again. And fortunately for me, I had a phenomenal experience, and I never looked back.
Wow. Yeah, it's really an incredible story in your journey. And what I just keep getting from you is just really that strong desire to change. And I heard what you said earlier. You're not cured. We would call it, we're managing your anxiety at this point.
Exactly.
and finding the things that worked for you, and going back to what you were saying about nutrition, and listeners to my show know that I talk a lot about thoughts and keeping control of the thoughts and what are you saying to yourself and paying attention to that. But, and as you alluded to, and it, which is the truth, if your body is not healthy and if your mind is not healthy and if your brain has inflammation, you're not going to be able to do that. That there has to be the first step of having a healthy body. And my issue has been depression. And when I discovered nutrition and juicing, and I do 2 ounces of wheatgrass every morning, and it changed my life. It was the same thing. Mm-hmm. I was on medication, told you're just going to be on forever. You have slow cycling depression, and that was not okay with me. And so I know when I'm not, you know, we kind of get off track, go on vacation, whatever, and I come back, and I start to feel the symptoms of depression, you know, sort of creeping back in, and I just get back right on eating well and juicing, and it just really alleviates them. So that is a foundational thing that people need to do. And then exercising your body, you know, yoga is a great practice for that. I think it's a matter of everybody finding what works for them, but it's super important to get the body going and keep it healthy.
I agree.
And you also do meditation. I was reading on one of your blogs, and I loved something that you wrote, and I highlighted it, and it's that every morning you get up and you claim your day. And I love that. I do a similar, you know, I have my little 15 minutes before I even put my feet on the floor, you know, going through my mantra, but claiming your day, I think that's just wonderful. So talk, you know, kind of briefly about that morning routine that you go through.
Very similar in that way. Before I acknowledge anyone else, mm-hmm. I acknowledge myself first. Mm. I was one of those people who felt like selfishness was a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be mm-hmm. if you're doing it for the wrong reason, you know, but self-preservation is the best form of giving because only through that can you give 100% of you. So when I wake up in the morning, again, I acknowledge me first mm-hmm. before anyone else. Even if it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, if I know I'm going to have a busy day, I'll wake up early. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter. I'll acknowledge me first. I'll create an intention for myself for that day.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I have to remind myself that today I will be better than yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I'll create that intention.
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to be better than yesterday? Maybe yesterday I got distracted and I didn't finish everything that I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Today I'll create the intention that today I won't get distracted.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get everything done. Whatever it is that I perceive my day to be,
mm-hmm.
I claim it before anything else.
Yeah.
It's very important. It's vital.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mind-body connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you can say it over and over again, but if you don't believe it,
mm-hmm.
then you won't do the things necessary to achieve it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just natural. It's just how life is.
Yeah.
It's no different. It's like psychosomatics. It's like if you tell yourself that you're sick over and over
right.
again, eventually your body will start to believe what the mind is telling it.
It absolutely will.
It'll suppress your immune system.
Right.
Now you're more susceptible to sickness and disease and colds. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, now all of a sudden you have the sniffles Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You've conditioned your mind and your body to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I say,
mm-hmm.
great, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But the reality is the most important meal of the day is whatever one feeds your soul.
Nice, yeah.
That's the most important.
Absolutely. Beautiful. And what you're saying in the beginning about selfishness, it's not a negative. I'm with you, too. I think selfishness is what you were saying from the ego standpoint,
right.
taking and that sense of lack that can manifest itself as selfishness. That's the negative. But you have to take care of yourself to be able to give to others, and that's absolutely what you were saying. And you give to others. So we've got a couple minutes left, and I want to get in and talk about, you know, what do you do day-to-day and how can listeners find you and what kind of services do you offer to people?
Well, I'm currently in New York City. Again, I'm a health coach, so I typically help people to become better versions of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I take the things that have helped me,
mm-hmm.
juicing and yoga and exercise and meditation,
mm-hmm.
and I provide that to everyone that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the best of all worlds. You know, you're attacking it from every angle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when we're sedentary, we allow this mental sickness mm-hmm. as well as physical to creep in. Mm-hmm. We allow depression. We allow things to stress us out. We become overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Scientific studies have proven that just getting out and walking 30 minutes during the day can relieve depression.
Mm-hmm.
So why not take advantage of that?
Absolutely.
You know, so I am a health coach. I'm a writer. I do speaking engagements as well, health conferences. And I'm a yoga instructor, a yoga guide in New York. I've traveled and done yoga events in different places. I teach yoga classes privately, so I can do one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And I've mainly done one-on-one, but I'm going to soon start branching into doing some classes in New York City as well.
That's awesome. And your website is your name?
Yes, quentinvennie.com.
Yeah, so it's listeners, it's quentinvennie.com.
And yes, on the website. Same thing on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.
Oh, great. Okay, so that's easy.
Yeah,
keep it simple. People are inconsistent with that. But yeah, so listeners, definitely check him out. I've been on Quentin's website. He's got links to his blog, great reads there. Lots of really good information, and certainly contact him if you've liked what you've heard and would like to know more. So, Quentin, we are definitely out of time, and thank you so much for sharing your story and your insights with my listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, and listeners, that wraps up today, and just be sure to tune in next week.
You've been listening to Create Your Reality on Amazing Women of Power Radio, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. Tune in next Monday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time to hear more from Lynn and her guests. If you want to re-listen to this show or previous shows, you can find them at createyourrealityradio.com or createyourreality.podomatic.com. Thanks for listening.